This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And in today's digital age, cybersecurity is more than just an IT concern. It's a fundamental business imperative. Recent cyber incidents targeting significant Malaysian entities like Maxis and the Youth and Sports Ministry have underscored the urgency of this issue, revealing vulnerabilities that can have far-reaching implications for organizations across the nation. To shed light on effective strategies to combat these growing cybersecurity threats, I'm privileged to have Ian Farquhar, the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon, join us for a crucial discussion. Gigamon stands at the vanguard of network security, offering insights and solutions that are vital for protecting digital infrastructures against sophisticated cyber attacks. Our conversation will pivot around the advanced tactics employed by hacker groups like Rocket, the importance of deep observability in cybersecurity, and actionable strategies that Malaysian businesses, including budding entrepreneurs, can implement to safeguard their digital assets. If you have any thoughts, you can WhatsApp me on our U-Mobile number at 018-789-8899, or you can reach us on X. We are at BFM Radio. Ian, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, as I said, in today's digital age, businesses face an array of cyber threats. How has the nature of cyber attacks evolved in recent years?
It's been really interesting, and it's definitely undergoing a shift, and it's constantly changing. Most organizations these days have the majority of their business value in their cyber assets. I remember even going back 10 years ago, I went into an organization and I basically asked the CISO, what's the value of your cyber asset? What percentage of your company's business do you think is in your digital assets? And he said to me 80%, 90%. He was guessing, but that's actually a reasonable assumption. And I noticed as he was talking, I was sitting in this chair and it had a little asset sticker on it that, you know, property of the company. Bizarre thing to notice. I said, could you tell me where all your digital data is? You know, this 80% of your business. And he laughed in my face. But it was really ironic because this $50 chair had an asset tag on it, but he couldn't actually account for 80% of his business value. Is that weird?
But yeah. It's improved. Yeah. That's it, right? Because it's there and he can see it. That's all. Yeah. Interesting. Now, okay, so from your perspective then, what would you say are the most pressing cybersecurity challenges for modern businesses, and how can they stay, I guess, one step ahead?
It's really hard because the range of adversaries we are seeing is so huge. Most modern businesses are incredibly complex. And you were talking before about even small businesses. And I have a lot of sympathy for that. You are trying to get a small business up and running. You are trying to make it profitable. But then you have this amorphous, large, scary world out there. How do you navigate that? If you're a small business, you don't want that risk. You want to focus on what you're doing. How do you actually do that? There's a range of answers. For large businesses, they need to focus. They need to make cybersecurity to be a board level issue. This shouldn't be actually hard to do. There will be pushback because a lot of our boards contain people who may not be aware of cyber threats, cyber risks. Those boards to basically learn, to be educated. The CEO to communicate to them. The C-suite needs to communicate to them. They need to invest in cybersecurity. Yes, it's expensive, but breaches, much more expensive. Going down the other end, how do you deal with that? Well, firstly, you understand where your value is, what is stealable, and you probably need to look at something like managed security service providers. You can't actually do that. It was really good to see a lot of the focus the Malaysian government is talking about is about enabling cloud, enabling MSSPs to really deliver services. If you ignore it, you are going to get hit. It's not a with cybersecurity, it's not an issue of if it'll happen. It's an issue of when it'll happen.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you guys are known for cutting-edge solutions.
Yes.
This ability to, quote-unquote, see into encrypted traffic without traditional decryption.
Yes.
Can you explain, I guess, in layman's terms, how this tech works and why it's a game changer for business security?
So that particular technology is called pre-cryption. And, you know, the traditional approaches to TLS, SSL TLS visibility, same protocol, different name in different versions. You know, the whole aim of that is to prevent visibility. That's actually what the number one goal of the protocol, if you read the spec, is. So you are undermining this. Now, traditional approaches were things called break and inspect, where you got in the middle and you broke the connection and you undermined the authentication system. We used to call this man in the middle. We don't do that anymore because that's a non-inclusive terminology. Break and inspect is what we talk about. But that's disruptive. It adds latency. It's still a viable, useful technology, but we realized there was a different approach. Mm. And particularly in containers and cloud workloads, we can use a technology called eBPF, the Extended Berkeley Packet Filter, to reach into the workload and intercept the plain text before it's encrypted. And I know I'm getting a little bit technical here, but imagine your application and the library that actually implements SSL TLS. We can insert ourselves between there. And by gaining access to the plain text, we can do visibility of that plain text into legitimate tools to analyze it without doing this complex break and inspect operation.
I understood that. That was, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, now, many of our listeners who are tuning in this afternoon they're at the helm of digital transformations or are founding tech-driven startups. What would you say are the foundational cybersecurity principles that they should kind of embrace from day one? I mean, earlier you said bigger companies, it should start with board members, it should come down from C-suite. But if you're just starting out, what would be the most fundamental thing you should embrace?
You know, that's a fantastic question, and there's so many answers to it. But I would start by baking security into your business, baking security into your enterprises. I've been doing security for an embarrassing number of decades, at least three decades. And, yeah, difficult to admit that right now. That's a little. One of the things that I would suggest, and this is totally non-technical, is to make security everyone's responsibility.
Right.
Make security part of your business culture. So that people think in terms of one of some of the worst things I've seen in companies is people going, security is somebody else's job.
Right.
And in fact, I can point to some really, really bad breaches where had they done otherwise, it would have been. The second part is don't think about traditional security approaches, perimeter security. It's so dead. You know, having security at the edge and a soft inner middle where the reality is attackers are going to get past that. Assume the attackers are going to get in, the assumption of compromise, and build your security controls, but also your business processes to be resilient around that. If you do that, you're in a much better position than 90% of enterprises today.
You can't adopt the mindset of it's not my job, mate. It's got to be, you know, it's everybody's job, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just before we jump into a break, Gigamon emphasizes this importance of visibility across network traffic for enhanced security.
Yeah.
How does this principle apply to everyday ops of a business, and why should non-IT leaders care?
I really am very fond of looking at history and the history of warfare. Fundamentally, I don't want to say that cybersecurity is completely warfare, but we have lessons to learn. I don't know a single army that was sent into battle wearing blindfolds.
Right, yes.
Yeah, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Without visibility, without the ability to see what's going on, how much security do you have? How do you fight? I don't know. Visibility is foundational.
Good answer. Right, let's take a short break. Folks, this, of course, is Enterprise Explores. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business. From the headlines to the bottom line, I'm speaking with Ian Farquhar, the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon. We're talking about effective strategies the Malaysian businesses and budding entrepreneurs can implement to safeguard their digital assets amongst growing cybersecurity threats. We'll be right back after a few messages. Keep it here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Bribe-free ministers. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business. From headlines to the bottom line, we're discussing effective strategies that Malaysian businesses and budding entrepreneurs can implement to safeguard their digital assets against growing cybersecurity threats. And I'm speaking with Ian Farquhar, the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon. Now, Gigamon caters to a wide range of sectors. Can you share an example of how your solutions have been tailored to a specific industry's needs and highlighting the impact on that business's operation and security?
Yes, Gigamon tends to be used by some of the larger enterprises in the world. One of the things that we take to heart is this idea that we need to actually not only say our products are secure, but to independently demonstrate it. So this is very important in government because while we're talking to Malaysia here, we supply 10 of the top 10 US government agencies. They are all Gigamon customers. They don't take your word that your systems right. are secure.
Yeah.
So, for example, we put them through independent security verification called Common Criteria. And we have a report from an independent agency that says we have tested these systems and we confirm that the security target they have done is valid. Now, you would think that's a government thing, but no, it's not. Banks love this. Yeah. And there's a reason for this. A lot of banks hire out of government agencies. The pay is better. And those people move in and they are dealing with a similar level of threat. They are dealing with being pounded on all the time by financial criminals, even by other governments. This is one of the ways we target them. We take security really, really seriously. One of the things I'm really bothered about at the moment, looking at the way companies behave, is that they tend to focus on the managed systems, like the endpoints, and they tend to ignore that threat actors are going after your infrastructure, your switches, your firewall, all of these things. Anything is fair game. Anything. We need to start looking at the security of our infrastructure as well as the security of just the endpoints we're familiar with.
Because once they've found their way in, they can sit there for a while, these bad actors. They can do whatever they want once they're in there and just sit and wait.
Well, one of the things that most threat actors will do is once they establish a beachhead in your organization, they will actually assume you'll find them. So they'll also establish some other persistence mechanisms, basically other back doors. So if you kick them out one way, they come at you via the back door that they've established. One of the things that we as an industry don't talk about enough is the cleanup.
Right.
And not just the detecting the attack and preventing it, while that's absolutely important, we also need to look at what happens after that. And this is something that business people need to look at really strongly. If I get hit and I detect it, what's next? I was talking to the CIO of a very large government agency. And they talked about the SolarWinds event. And wasn't only detecting it. Once they detected it, they didn't have the option of shutting down their business for 5-6 weeks. Wasn't going to happen. This is a large government agency. Yeah. How do you keep the business running while you clean up the mess? And you find all those back doors and make sure you've kicked your threat actor right out. That's hard.
Now, if businesses were looking to integrate the solutions that you're offering.
Yes.
What does the process involve and how do you ensure it aligns with their existing operational security framework?
What Gigamon really does is it adds another layer to your network. And by your network, I mean the physical network, your virtual private cloud network, your public cloud network. It is most networks are designed to take traffic from point A to point B. But in the security world, we need that traffic to be seen by monitoring tool C, security tool D, anti-malware tool E. Networks aren't designed to do that. So what it requires typically is the installation of very small, simple devices called network taps in the physical network, deployment of some virtual machines in the private cloud environment, and deployment of either agents or some platform things in the cloud environment. That way, no matter where that packet is, doesn't matter if it's physical, virtual, or cloud, we can feed it to any tool in any environment and in a way that makes that tool effective. So your NDR, your IPS, your anti-malware device, all of these things can see any traffic that they need to. Modern networks don't do that. GigOne adds the ability to do that.
Wonderful. Now, as we spoke about in the setup, cybersecurity threats are constantly evolving. How do you guys innovate to keep your solutions effective against these new cyber attacks? And I guess, what can businesses do to stay prepared?
Businesses need to stay on top of things. And there's a whole bunch of basic hygiene processes. I was looking at Malaysian Cert, and they had some great advice for just hygiene. Get that stuff done first. Get the hygiene stuff. Get patching right. Get your permissions right. Make sure everyone is properly provisioned. At that point, you need to start and move away from the traditional security approaches. Back to the perimeter security I was talking about before. Yeah, absolutely. Keep your firewalls. But understand that a good attacker is going to fish their way past it. So what do you do then? Make sure you have every bit of visibility you have. The ability to see the network, the ability to see the managed endpoints, but understand not everything is managed, the ability to see the infrastructure. Feed all that into a detection tool, such as an NDR, that will give you visibility of all of those threat actors, and it's a security team that can deal with it. That's one in-house if you're big enough, or a managed security provider if you're not. That's the way forward. That's how to protect yourself.
I mean, earlier on you were talking about you know, it's everybody's responsibility for security.
Yes.
Should we be baking in things like zero trust as well?
Zero trust is really, really interesting. And GigOne recently held a zero trust summit in Washington, D.C. And one of the things I got to ask is, you know, why did the U.S. government go zero trust? Executive Order 14028, literally, it's an order from the president that tells every government agency to go zero trust. Now, you know, a lot of us are aware of zero trust for 10 years when John Kinderbell created it, you know, 2010, 2011. If you'd asked me 2014, I'd have said, yeah, fascinating idea, but it'll never fly. So I asked, why did it fly? And the answer was really, really interesting. The person who ran the program office for the U.S. government said, because we tried everything else. And
right.
Nothing worked.
Right.
Zero trust works. Now, zero trust is a heavy lift.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Nobody is ever going to sit down and say, I'm going to be zero trust in 6 months' time. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
It is a constant process of improvement. So I would argue, if you are a CISO, if you are running your business, look at zero trust as a journey. Look at it as in, it is a rational approach. The core tenet of zero trust is trust nothing without proof. So start to build your controls. Take one of the maturity model, be that US DODs, be that CISAs, be that, I mean, the Singapore government has GovZTA. You know, there are all these models. Choose one and align your strategy to it because it works.
Okay.
And it will improve your security.
All right. Just before we head into another break, what I'm discussing a lot recently, and I'm sure you are as well, is machine learning, AI. Yeah, and I can see you have that same response that I do. It's like, oh, again? But it's top of mind for everybody. And, you know, this is something that everybody is discussing right now. Obviously, it's a big step in tech innovation.
Yeah.
What kind of role does it play or may play in enhancing cybersecurity measures against these evolving threats that we're hearing about?
Oh, yeah. Look, it's really important. I'm cynical about the discussions, but I'm excited about the technology.
You know, me and you are on the same page.
Exactly. For years, we've been doing various things we used to call AI, quite different to generative AI, which is what most people are actually talking about. But the issue is the amount of data we're dealing with. And, you know, I used to do what we now call NDR in before we called it NDR. One of the challenges is people who can look for this sort of stuff are expensive to hire. So what we did is we introduced a bunch of AI models to detect anomalies. The reality is threat feeds that we mostly rely upon are known bads. What I want to find in my organization is the unknown bads, the things that the threat model is not, the threat feeds are not telling me about at the moment. That's where generative AI is fantastic. If we can scale it to look at the huge amount of data we have coming in and saying, think a human needs to look here because this doesn't look right, that this might be just a little bit of network traffic. It might be something that happened in on an endpoint. It might be the behavior of Janet in accounting who suddenly has done something really weird we maybe need to go and talk to her about. That's where it's exciting. Where it's scary is the ability for adversaries to use it to scale phishing and influence campaigns and misinformation. You know, we have seen that happen to ourselves. We have seen things that we're pretty sure are generative AI phishing messages. That's the two sides. The two sides of the coin. It's a benefit and a risk, like almost everything. But we don't get the option of balancing that.
That's true. Okay, let's take another short break here, Ian. This is Enterprise Explores, of course, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm speaking with Ian Farquhar, the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon. We've been talking about effective strategies that Malaysian businesses and budding entrepreneurs can implement to safeguard their digital assets against growing cybersecurity threats. I'm Rich Bradbury. We'll be back after a few messages here on BFM 89.9.
Burgers from Mamas. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. Of course, it is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm speaking with Ian Farquhar, the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon. We're discussing effective strategies that businesses and entrepreneurs can implement to safeguard their digital assets against growing cybersecurity threats. Thank you for sticking around, Ian. Fascinating discussion so far. Let's talk a little bit about something that people might find a little bit dull, but it's also very important nonetheless, data protection, privacy laws, and compliance. These three things are crucial for businesses, we know that. How do you guys assist companies in navigating these complex and often red tape-infused regulatory landscapes to ensure that they meet the required standards?
Oh, yes. You know, compliance is one of the best cures for insomnia. And yes, but let's face it, privacy is really important. And people underestimate just how private information can be misused and leaked. And Malaysia has seen that very recently with some actors doing that. We need to take this seriously. But one of the things that I think a lot of organizations fail to understand is just how much that data can sprawl in their organization. Not in my job at Gigamon, but in a job prior to that, we did a data privacy exercise at a very large bank. And they wanted to do a data discovery exercise. They estimated that a particular type of data was going to be on 1,000 endpoints of their, I think at the time, 30,000 endpoints. And this was heavily compliance-laden data. It would cost them badly if this was breached. It was on four times that mini system.
Wow.
So it was a total shock to them. Data sprawls. It goes everywhere. And you might think your data is on your managed endpoints running your EDR. Sorry, no, it's going to be in the printers because it gets printed. It might be in mainframes where you can't run your EDR. You've got to look at it not only at the endpoint. You've got to map where it goes and understand the network transactions around your organization. You also need to look at, going back to the point about infrastructure, you need to be looking at your infrastructure, particularly IoT and OT, because there aren't really good security models there. The economic model of doing good security doesn't really scale to a $100 camera.
Right. You know? Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of concern from governments, not well justified as to why, but we can guess that maybe the firmware in those cameras isn't as trustable as it should be.
Yes. Yes. Things like routers as well, modems. I know who you're inferring of the kind of the companies that you're looking at here. Okay,
you've got to watch the network to make sure where your sensitive data is going, and when they reach out to something that is a repository of sensitive data of high value, that's a crisis. You need to deal with that as soon as possible.
Mm. Now, excuse me. Earlier on, we talked about how cybersecurity and preventing issues around that is not always a cheap prospect. And that for some younger businesses and entrepreneurs in general can be a little bit daunting for them. And not just because of the cost involved, but because of the setup involved.
Yes.
What simple and effective practices would you recommend they prioritize, just on top of what we said earlier on? Because balancing protection with budget constraints is often, and well, it's always a challenge.
Yes.
How should they approach investing in cybersecurity to ensure maximum protection without with minimal cost, I guess, or rather unsustainable costs?
Yep. I'm going to give a little bit of an unusual answer. And that is to think like an attacker. You know, you're a CEO. You understand your business. You understand what you're trying to build. You tend to look from the inside at your business. What about you do something different? What about you just reverse it and look from the outside? You don't have to make yourself into a particular specific threat actor. Just financial criminal, foreign government. These aren't with North Korea. These aren't, by the way, necessarily distinct. You know, look at your business from the outside. How valuable is it? Mm. What do you derive? Because if you can figure out what is worth attacking you for, you can understand how much you should spend on protecting it. Now, how you should protect it? Well, we've covered a lot of that in this interview.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to look after it. You've got to assume compromise, all of that stuff. But look from the outside. What is your value?
Mm.
Then you can at least understand how much you need to spend to protect it. There's this accounting technique called annualized loss expectancy. Makes compliance look interesting. But the idea of how much is what you've got worth to understand how much you need to protect? How much is it worth spending? And maybe there are some businesses, sorry to say, that just simply can't afford to protect that data. At that point, you really need to understand why you're in business.
Mm. Ooh, wise words, Ian. Thank you. Right. Final question there. Looking ahead, what major trends do you see on the horizon within cybersecurity, and how are you helping businesses to navigate these future challenges?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And so what the things I see moving forward, I think the endpoint companies have done a fantastic job in securing our managed endpoints, but we have so many unmanaged endpoints in our organizations. And these include things, for example, like mobile phones, cellular phones.
Mm.
Most executive cellular phones are loaded with sensitive data. We need to manage IoT, OT, legacy compute, industrial control systems very, very heavily. Secondly, it is very, very clear that the new frontier of hacking is infrastructure. That's look at the recent media reporting. People are attacking the infrastructure organizations use that aren't well protected: appliances, firewalls, routers. We've got to start doing that. Zero trust is the best way to do that, and we need to start on that journey. And we need to start on it seriously. Don't just say, yeah, we're doing zero trust. go and read the standards, come up with a strategy. It will pay dividends. And finally, we've got to do the assumption of compromise properly. And all these things are interrelated. We've got to look at our businesses, not in terms of keeping attackers out, but dealing with them when, not if, they get in, and running our business successfully while we clean up the mess that may happen. A successful penetration doesn't actually mean damage if we can move fast enough. You've got to build our infrastructures to move fast enough.
Ian, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Very happy to do so. Thank you so much for the fantastic questions. It's been really interesting.
It was an absolute pleasure. Folks, I've been speaking with Ian Farquhar. That was the Security Chief Technology Officer at Gigamon. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. You can also listen to our shows wherever you normally listen to them, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, other podcast players. Just search for Enterprise Explorers. I'm Rich Bradbury. Keep it here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.